Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. I am here this morning to challenge you to put to death what is earthly in you. This morning I want to wrap up our look at this verse and this concept. And I want to encourage you. Well, I want to encourage you to stay encouraged. Because as I consider what it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 and all that we have looked at in this battle and this fight, there are a couple of verses that concern me. And they say essentially the same thing. We find them in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. And that's the danger. After we hear a sermon, we're all excited. After we get done with a series, we're all pumped up. But then the days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and years turn into decades, and courage flags, commitment falters, encouragement wanes, and we grow weary. We get tired of the fight. By the time we're done today, I want us to note, one, the sources of weariness, because I think it's helpful just to recognize what is attacking us. And then two, a plan that is going to help us overcome and stay encouraged throughout this weariness. I'd like for you to be prepared, because at the end of this lesson, I am going to ask you a very big thing. I hope you picked up a program. I hope you picked up a program and you've got the connection card so that you can let the shepherds know what commitment you're going to take as a next step, and you can drop that in the collection plate at the end. And if you're our guest, we'd love for you to fill this out as well, just so we can let you know how much we appreciate you being here. But I especially hope that you notice on the back of the program the article today, A Daily Renewal. Because at the end of this lesson, I'm going to ask you to read that article and do what it says each day for the rest of this week. So I want you to be ready for that, because that's what I'm going to be asking you to do by the time that we're done this morning. I want us to be encouraged to overcome weariness. I am going to tell you, if you open it up, you can take the notes. I'm going to encourage you to take notes inside that, because this is a 19-point sermon. And I don't expect you to remember all 19 points, so you're going to want to write them down, because we are going to be hoofing it. We're going to be hoofing it through these 19 things. 9 of them, sources of weariness. 10 of them, how to overcome those sources of weariness. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God in heaven, you are magnificently awesome. We love you and we praise you. And we know that you are the God who never grows tired. You do not grow weary. Rather, you strengthen those who are weary. You lift up the faint-hearted. And those who wait on you do not grow weary. Help us, Father, to wait on you. Help us to bring you glory in all that we do. Strengthen us by your Spirit and our inner being. Fill our hearts with your Son by faith. And let us be filled with all your fullness. That by your power working in us, you will do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And that by your strength, we will put to death what is earthly in us. Father, thank you for your Son Jesus who died on the cross, that lets us know that if you would do that, you will give us everything we need to fight this battle. Help us to maintain that faith. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, let's talk about the sources of weariness for just a few moments. The sources of weariness. One, time. Time. The time that the battle takes. We were excited when we were baptized, but now we've been a Christian for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 25 years, for 50 years, and the battle is still going on. Considering fighting this battle for a lifetime, It's sometimes overwhelming. And let's face it, just thinking about the amount of time we are going to be at war, that can be tiresome. That can be weary. Time is a source of weariness. Difficulty. We had hoped that when we were baptized into Christ, that what God was going to do was miraculously get rid of all of our temptations and struggles and sins. Instead, what He came to us and said was, put to death what is earthly in you. That sounds hard. That's difficult. And as we've considered the war that we're waging, we've recognized that the weapons and the tools are not easy to wield. And so as we consider the difficulty of the battle, sometimes that is a source of weariness. 3, mockery and persecution. If it's not bad enough that we're going to be fighting this battle for the rest of our lives, and if it's not bad enough that He's actually asked us to kill and put to death what is earthly within us, we're going to be doing all of that while there are people around us that think we're crazy. There are going to be people who mock us, and there are going to be people who persecute us, who do not understand why we're doing this. A lot of them don't even understand why we're here this morning, let alone why we're putting to death so many earthly things that they enjoy. And the more we see their mockery and persecution on social media, on television, and even face to face, let's just understand that that is going to be a source of weariness and discouragement. 4. And while they're mocking and persecuting us, we look around and we see the seeming success of sinners. The seeming success of sinners. We would expect that having turned our lives over to God, that we would be the ones that are successful, and those who have not turned their lives over to God, that they would be the ones who suffer. But we see the arrogant lifted up. We see the prideful and boastful as they have success. We see the folks who live in the house on the hill, and it's not always the people we would expect. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the injustice of it all. And that's just a source of discouragement and weariness. 5, saboteurs. Saboteurs. There are folks who sabotage our goals and our battle. And these are not all wicked, awful people. Some of them are well-meaning and well-intentioned. I think of Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. When Jesus prophesied His coming death, Peter says, that could never happen to you. And Jesus has to say to him, well-intentioned though he was, get behind me, Satan. Because your mind is not on God's things. You're not thinking like God thinks. And sometimes there are well-meaning and well-intentioned people who just sabotage our battle. Perhaps they don't understand our goal. Maybe they don't understand our extreme desire and methods. Then again, there are some that just feel shame and guilt because they see our success in the battle and they feel like that's an accusation. And so they sabotage. No doubt there are those who refuse to forgive. They remember what we were and they refuse to forgive now that we've grown. There are those who simply can't understand why and don't approve. But whatever the reason and the motivation behind their sabotage, hearing that message again and again and again as they tell us that we can't or we shouldn't or why would we want to pursue this, that just gets tiresome. Weariness, discouragement, saboteurs. 6, improper motivations and goals. Improper motivations and goals. I want to say something shocking. Jesus did not die to save your marriage. Jesus did not die to save your job. Jesus did not die to save your health. And Jesus did not die to save your retirement. And yet, if we listen to modern preachers, even some gospel preachers, we would think that those are the reasons to turn to Jesus. For example, is your marriage messed up? Turn to Jesus. He'll fix it. I have no doubt that those who surrender to the gospel and change in their behavior, there are a lot of good things that are going to come from that. That certainly will. But Jesus didn't die to save your marriage. The fact is, your spouse may decide not to follow Jesus. The fact is, your spouse may be codependent on your past sins and now can't handle the new you, and the marriage falls apart anyway. The fact is, in your sins and worldliness, you may have already irreparably damaged your marriage. And the struggle is, if we turn to Jesus Christ with improper motives and goals, and those things don't happen, things that God did not promise us, and they don't happen, then we get tired and we get weary and we get discouraged. That's going to happen when we're pursuing things that God hasn't promised and being upset because he doesn't do what he hasn't promised, because we misunderstood. Improper motivations and goals, a source of weariness and discouragement. Euphoric recall of sin. In the moment of temptation, in that moment of temptation, as we remember our past experience with sin, what we have is what's called a euphoric recall. We remember the euphoria, the pleasure, the fun, and we forget all the other things that went along with it. That's how Satan tempts us. And when all we can remember in that moment is how fun the sin was, telling ourselves, I got to put that to death, that becomes a huge, huge sacrifice. It's hard to do. And it becomes tiresome and wearisome. And that's in those moments when we think that Christianity is all about ruining our fun. That comes from euphoric recall of sin. Slips and falls. If there is anything that Satan uses to tire us and discourage us from continuing in the battle, it's the fact that we slip and fall. We're growing. We're not perfect. And so as we discipline and we grow and we strive to put to death what is earthly, but then we have that moment of weakness and we fall and we sin again, then Satan is whispering in our ear, told you you couldn't do it. Why did you even bother trying? You think you're going to be able to do this for the rest of your life? Weariness and discouragement. Satan will use our slips and falls against us. And finally, comparisons. If it's not bad enough that we have our slips and falls, we show up here on Sunday, everybody's dressed up in their Sunday finest, they've got on their Sunday faces, and we read on Facebook about their family Bible studies every day this week and how their children have memorized Hebrews and all those kind of things that are going on in their lives, and because we are comparing ourselves to them, we feel like we just don't measure up. And what's the point of continuing to try? Comparisons are sources of weariness and discouragement. Well, how can we combat this? How can we combat our weariness? Number one, keep drinking from the refreshing well of living waters. I'm going to have to stay by this keypad because we're running through some things quickly here. Let me see if this is working yet. Nope. All right. Keep drinking from the refreshing well of living waters. In Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Quiet waters. Isn't that beautiful? Still quiet waters, restoring my soul. He refreshes. He lifts up. I need to spend time drinking those waters. I need to be in his word, which are his words of life. I need to be spending time in prayer. I need to be spending time doing what we're doing here this morning. What is that? Worshiping God with his people. This is where refreshment comes from. This is not a rule to check off. This is refreshing. This is life-giving. I need to continually and repeatedly drink from the wells of living water. Number two, recognize progress. Recognize progress. If comparing myself to others causes weariness, I need to combat that by comparing myself now to myself where I was. We need to remember that our job is progress. God's job is perfection. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was forgetting what had happened in the past and moving forward. He understood that he had not reached perfection yet, but he was progressing. So you yelled at your wife or your kids last night again? That's bad. You need to confess that. You need to repent of that. But you used to do it every other day and it's been 2 months since you did it the last time? That's progress. That means you've been working on that. This is not permission to commit your sins once every couple of months. But it is permission to recognize that you're growing. And that's victory. And that's awesome. In fact, that leads us to number three. Remember past victories. Remember past victories. Don't let your present sins bring you down. Remember the victories that God has given you. Consider Psalm 9. In Psalm 9 and verse 13, the psalmist says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death." Here's a man that's facing affliction. Here's a man that is tired and who is weary because of the fight that is going on. How did he overcome that? How did he endure? Look at the first six verses. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins." How was he able to maintain relying on God? He remembered the victories that he had experienced. But I would like you to notice this. This is not merely remember your past victories. This is remember God's past victories in you and through you. Maintaining your faith in God that he is the God of victory. That he wins. And yes, I may have slipped and fell yesterday. But I can turn back to the God of victory. I can remember the victory that he has brought. And I can continue on putting to death what is earthly within me. I need to remember past victories. Think through the drink. Think through the drink. If euphoric recall of sin is going to cause us to slip and fall, if it's going to cause us weariness and tiresome, we've got to do more than just remember the fun and the pleasure. We've got to remember how bad it was. There was a reason we turned to Jesus Christ at some point. Because we realize that while sin may be fun in the moment, there are a lot of nasty, awful, terrible consequences. Guilt and shame, strife, dissension, envy, enmity, all that hardship. And we didn't want that anymore. And so we turned away from that. In the moment of temptation, often all we think about is the fun and the euphoria. So what we need to do? Well, this is a statement that's used in 12-step recovery a lot, especially with Alcoholics Anonymous. And what they're told is you need to think through the drink. In this moment, all you're thinking about is the fun of the drink. Think about what it's going to be like tomorrow when you wake up hungover and your wife finds you like that again. Is that going to be fun? Think about when the sin is done. Yes, there's some fun right now in the midst of the sin, but when it's done, how are you going to feel? What's it going to do? Think it through. Isn't that what Paul demonstrates in Romans chapter 6, verses 20 through 21? "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." I loved this one mantra in the 12-step community. Locked up, covered up, or sobered up. Those are your choices. You either continue in your sin, and it's going to get you thrown in jail, or it's going to kill you, or you sober up and you put it to death. Remember what have we said? It's us or them, guys. We either put our sins to death or our sins put us to death. So you need to think it through. Where is this going to lead? Yes, I know it's fun in the moment, but what's it going to be like when you wake up tomorrow? What's it going to be like when your spouse finds out, when your boss finds out, when your kids find out? How's that all going to play out? Think it through. And remember how it's going to play out if you make the choice to overcome and they find out about that. Think through the drink. Remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. If improper goals and motivations cause us wearisome, tiredness, discouragement, then what we need to do is remember what God's promises actually are. You know, God has never promised you that everybody is going to like you. He's not ever promised that. He's not ever promised you that you're going to be the most popular person in the world. But I tell you what he has promised. He's promised that you can become a good person if you turn your life over to his Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wouldn't you like to be that kind of person? That's what God has promised you can be if you'll surrender to Him. Tell you what, He has not promised to save your marriage. He has not promised to save your health. He has not promised to save your retirement. He has not promised to save your grades. But you know what He has promised to save? He has promised to save your soul. And that's the thing that's amazing. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, God shows His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Remember the real promise. Focus on that. To overcome the weariness and the discouragement of improper motivations and goals. Confess your weariness to others. If saboteurs are going to make it hard, what you need to find are some supporters. Don't focus on the saboteurs. Find some supporters. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Find supporters that you can talk to and confess to and pray with. And don't wait until you've become overwhelmed with weariness and discouragement and gone wholesale back into the world. When you start feeling that weariness, give them a call. Pick up the phone. Let them know, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm feeling. I just don't think I can keep it up today. And let them pray with you. Combat the saboteurs by finding supporters. Look to the end. Look to the end. When the seeming success of sinners in these moments are causing you weariness and discouragement, remember the end. In Psalm 73, Asaph was weary. He looked around and he saw what seemed to be injustice, and he said he was ready to throw in the towel. But notice what changed things. In Psalm 73, 16 through 19, when I thought to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. See, y'all thought I was making it up. It's wearisome to look at these guys having their success while they're living in sin. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. There's no doubt temporal success for those who are wicked. But in the end, they will be judged. And if we follow them in their sins, we will follow them in their judgment. We need to remember their end. And we need to look to God and rely on Him. We need to rely on Him. We need to consider the saints of old. Consider the saints of old and the victories that they had. As we consider the saints of old, we need to remember that we are not the first ones to face temptation. We are not the first ones to be burdened. It tells us in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Then let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We are surrounded by those who would persecute us and mock us, but we are also surrounded by a faithful cloud of witnesses. We can spend time in God's Word, and we can see Moses and his years in the wilderness, and we can see Abraham and his struggles with faith, and we can see David and his time in the wilderness. And we can see Peter and his time of denial, and Paul, his time of being a persecutor. And we can look at every single one of them, and we can see that God redeemed each and every one. We can see the struggles they had, and we can see the victory that God brought them. And we can know God will make us victorious. Consider the saints of old, especially Jesus, who endured such hostility so that you could be victorious. We can endure as well. Consider the saints of old and remember God's presence. Remember God's presence. When things are difficult and things are hard, remember that you're not alone. Moses saw the victory of Israel over Egypt. And he said, that's too hard. I can't do it. And what did God say to him? You're not alone. I am with you. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a quote from what God said to Joshua. We all know how Joshua's victories went. He's saying that's true for us. Remember who is with you. And can anybody forget Isaiah 40 verses 28 through 31? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the God who is with you. Yes, I know you get tired, but God does not. And you know what God does? God takes people like us who get tired and weary, and he strengthens us so that we might rise up on wings like eagles. Remember who is with you. You're not alone. And I know the battle is tiresome, but our God fights battles day in and day out, and he never gets tired. That's our God. Remember, he is the one who is with you when you consider how difficult the task is. And finally, let me ask you to do all of these things one day at a time. Having the idea and focusing on that I got to fight this battle for the rest of my life, that is wearisome and tiresome. But I remember the day that I realized, what if the rest of my life is just today? Because that's all I'm promised. That's all I'm promised. I may get in my car tonight, heading over to play Ultimate Frisbee, and get in a car wreck right up here at sunset and die. That may be it. Wouldn't it be silly for me today to quit the battle because of what I'm afraid might happen tomorrow or next week or next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now to find out that all I had was this 24 hours? Wouldn't that be silly? Remember what Jesus said in Luke 9:23? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not take up your cross annually. It's not take up your cross monthly. It's take up your cross daily. I had a great victory yesterday. That doesn't mean put the cross down. That means today. All right, as long as it's called today, what am I going to do? I'm going to choose for today to pick up that cross. If I failed yesterday, instead of giving up, it's, hey, today. As long as it's called today, I'm going to pick up that cross and I'm going to fight the battle one day at a time. If I get to see tomorrow, I'll decide then what I'm going to do. But for today, I'm going to commit to putting to death what is earthly within me. And I'll leave it up to God whether or not I have to fight this battle any more than that. And so what I want to encourage you, I want to encourage you to look at the back of the program again. A daily renewal. Because we want you to fight this battle one day at a time. So I encourage you to make a commitment. Every day this week that's called today. Only on the days called today. I want to encourage you, read this article. And at the beginning or end of the day, find one of your support team that you're going to call. And together, walk through these questions and commitments. Just for today, put to death what is earthly in you. Are you willing to do that for today? Are you willing today to put to death what is earthly in you? That's all I'm asking for. I know the battle gets tiresome. I know it gets weary. But we're not alone. We serve the God who wins victories. And he wants us to win so bad, he sent his son to die for us. If he would do that, we can be convinced that he will give us everything we need. That's our God. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to put your notes away, get out your songbook. If you're going to use a songbook, you can feel free to do that at this time. If you need to use a songbook, we're going to be singing number 625, Zion's Call. If you want to call the Guinness Book of World Records for the 19-point sermon being preached in 27 minutes, you can do that. I mean, come on, guys. That's pretty good, right? Thank you. Here's our choices. Death, life. One of two things is going to happen. Either our sins are going to put us to death, or by the grace of God and Jesus on the cross, we're going to put them to death. God sent his Son to die on the cross, to accept his wrath so that you wouldn't have to. And I know that every Sunday we ask this and we offer this invitation, and some of you are sitting there saying, I just don't know that I can do this forever. You may not have forever. You may just have today. Today, will you turn your life over to Jesus? Will you surrender to him in baptism and let him be your God today? If you get to see tomorrow, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Call me, we'll walk through the renewal. But today, are you willing to let Jehovah be your God and Jesus be your sacrifice? For today, do you need to turn to your brothers and sisters and ask them for their strength and their help and their encouragement and their prayers? For today, are you willing to put to death what's earthly in you? If we can help you do that today, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.